great exercises of life is learning how to forget. Chrysostom, the silver-tongued orator, said, "A wrong done against love is like a spark that falls into the sea and is quenched." And if we're going to be known as those people who really know the love of God and display it, we need to have this orchid flower flowering with all of its beauty, that we're in the forgiving business and God's enabling us to forget and to restore. Galatians 6, verse 1. "If any man is overtaken with a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such an one with a spirit of meekness, lest you yourselves find yourselves in the same situation." Well, there's another flower to look at, and I'm also looking at the clock, so don't, and it's too nice a day to go outside. So, I guess that's a strange statement, isn't it? Anyway, we look at this statement here. Love, he says, isn't easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. We throw the ledger away. Love does not delight in evil. Love does not delight in evil. Doesn't delight in evil. Well, we don't delight in evil, certainly. That's a taken, that's a given. That we don't delight in evil. Do you know there are different ways that we can delight in evil? And I was thinking about them. There's a way that the world delights in evil. The world delights in evil. This evil that is spoken of here has to do about the sin of the world, the ways of the world, the wickedness of the world. That's evil. It's the way the world is going. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they love it in the darkness. Most of the things that are evil are done in the dark. And men love their darkness. They love their evil. You say, well, that isn't true of everyone. Certainly it isn't true of everyone. But it is true of the world system that men love evil. And we see the consequence of this all the time. All the time. You don't have to go very far. You don't have to watch too many television sets or read too many newspapers to find out that evil is rampant and that men are somehow loving it. They're languishing in it. I remember an experience that we had when our family was together on a vacation in Maine. There's a Christian conference center on the coast of Maine. And Peter, who was then pastor of First Baptist Church in Montreal, arranged for our family to go together. It was a wonderful holiday for a week down the coast of Maine. And Peter said to me, "Dad, I need to get a haircut." And I said, "I think I do too." I was really wanting to be with him. I don't have enough hair to get it cut. But anyway, I wanted to be with him. So we went to the town that was nearby and went into the barber shop. And when we went into the barber shop, there were several men in there. And there was a fellow in the chair who was really bragging about his prowess as a sinner. I mean, it was wine, women, and song for him. And he was talking about it in terms that were rather lewd and braggadocia. He was really quite a guy, bragging about his sin, thinking he was being masculine. And then the barber said to Peter, "Where are you from?" He said, "Montreal." And he said, "What do you do?" He said, I'm a Baptist minister." Ooh, the atmosphere changed so quickly. I mean, they began to speak English, you know. And then they turned to me and said, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a Baptist minister." Ooh, what do we have here? And if I told them I'm a missionary minister now, that would even be, you know, more solemn. But the fact of the matter is that it caused them to be aware that they were really talking about things for which they were bragging. Some kind of bozos they were, or this fellow was, to think that he was such a great sinner and he was proud of it. So here we're told that it doesn't delight in evil. Love doesn't delight in evil. He was telling us that he doesn't know anything about love, doesn't know anything about it at all. Didn't need to say any more. Ernest Hemingway was a brilliant man, and Ernest Hemingway was a proud man. And Ernest Hemingway, I am told, in an article that he wrote, said that people can sin and they can get away with it. He also said that the old idea of prudishness of sin and the Victorian fundamentalist's viewpoint that there are consequences of sin was a bunch of baloney. That's a quotation from Hemingway. The article went on to say that Hemingway was living proof of the fact that you can sin and get away with it. Ironically, 10 years later, to the very day that that article was written, Hemingway took a gun and blew his brains out. He rejoiced over sin, only so long. So we don't rejoice over sin. We don't delight in evil. Well, what else can we say about this expression as being a beautiful expression of what love is? We can say that sometimes we can find ourselves rejoicing over the iniquity of others. Actually, thinking that we're rather holy because we are better than they are. People like to hear bad news. They don't like to hear good news because somehow, psychologically, it lifts us to a plane where we think we're better than other people. If we hear about someone doing this and committing this crime, people are interested to know because it makes them feel pretty good about themselves. And the newspapers and the media, the television thrive on this. And I sometimes think when we listen to television and hear all of these things that are happening that we should go and have a bath, a moral bath, and get ourselves clean. It's really not very good. To be notorious seems to be a thing that we will let Christians do. If they have a notorious background like Don Whiteside, let's put them on a platform and tell us that story, Don. Tell us that story and give us all the lurid details. People like to hear about the evils of others. But if we really love, we don't want to hear about the evils of others. We want to hear of the grace of God in their lives, yes, but we don't want and we don't need to know the lurid details of their lives. Love does not delight in evil. It despises evil. And then again, I would say to you, as we learned in our home, that there need to be certain criteria for our repeating the story or the character of another. And that is it true? Number two, is it kind? And number three, is it necessary? Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And so many times we get information that isn't really true. We have had it given to us by someone who has exaggerated it, and it comes to us, and we take it and add a little color to it, and it isn't true, and it isn't kind, and it isn't necessary. We don't want to be promoters of evil. And that is against our old nature. But our new nature says that we do not enjoy evil. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Philippi, think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are righteous, whatsoever things are kind. Think on these things, and the things that we feed our minds and that our minds take in are the things that are going to create the actions and are going to create the attitudes and are going to create the destiny of our lives. And I preach to myself when I say it. We cannot be condoning sin either. And I think the Apostle Paul was referring to the church in Corinth when he was writing this. And in chapter 5, he told them that the sin that was being condoned in the church, and if we had time to read 1 Corinthians 5, we'd see that incest was being practiced, and they were proud of it. They were not going to criticize it. They were not going to condemn it. They weren't going to discipline it. They were going to let it happen in the name of liberty, in the name of some kind of love. And Paul said, this is evil. We are not condoning sin in the body. We are not about to condone sin. Sin is abhorrent. Sin is a monster of such frightful mien. To be hated is but to be seen, but seen too often. Familiar with its face, we first endure it and then pity it and then embrace it. And I know that. That's why when we come together next Sunday morning around the Lord's table, the Lord would tell us, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There needs to be a continuous self-examination, that we would display this beautiful orchid of love, of having a hatred for evil, a hatred for evil in our own lives, in the lives of those in the body, the evil that surrounds us in the world, that we would have a hatred for evil. And this isn't some kind of quasi-holiness. It's that which the Lord says is love. And our love, if it's real, will have a hatred for sin. My time is concluded, and I want you to know that I'm concluded, except to say that I have a friend who is very dear to me. He's an invalid. He suffers from a heart condition that has created a disability and made it impossible for him to even get out of his bed anymore. I talked with him yesterday, and I can't find what I'm looking for. And I wanted to conclude with this. Well, I'll start with it next Sunday. Sorry, you'll have to forgive me. But this dear man received a card in the mail at Christmas time. And I asked if he would let me have that card and let me copy the message on the card. And he said he would, and I took it and I copied the message. I was going to read it. But it talks about his reflecting the love of Christ. And really, as a man, I don't know anyone in my acquaintance that more reflects the love of Christ than Dr. Don Loveday, who is my friend. And I only wish that I could somehow approximate that love that he displays, that is really the love of God in Christ Jesus. And it's so imperative for us to display that love if it's real in our hearts. But first of all, we need to know that love, that intimacy of affection with our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying, and oh God, forgive me and help me that I may display that love. Dear friends, that's what we're about. And we can have programs, and we look forward to having wonderful programs and seeing our Sunday school thriving. That's an aspiration of mine. But if we have all of those things and don't have love, we're a zero. May God help us together. May he help you and help me, that we may know this love of which we've been speaking. Let's pray again. Father, how helpless we are, how far we are from being what we ought to be, but we thank you, dear Father, that even though we are not as we ought to be, we aren't as we once were, and you're working in our hearts and lives, that you would even cause this love of Christ to come with all of its beauty, all of its glory, that would be far more transcendent than any orchid. And Father, may it be seen, may the fragrance be evidenced, even as we relate to other people and as we relate to each other. Thank you for your word, for the enrichment of your word. Lord, help us to despise evil. Help us to know the wonderful blessing of forgiveness, that we would not hold those grudges and that information that would cause us to discount other people. And Lord, help us that we may too understand what it is to be righteously indignant. And understand, too, that we are not, as Christians, really blessed and sponsored and encouraged to be extending our temper for ourselves. Lord, make us to be like Jesus. And thank you for your desire and for your Holy Spirit, who will do this even today. Continue with us, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.